Okay, and here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gentlemen, gentlewomen, and your average hoes, moes, and joes. This is, in fact, All Roads Lead to Jiu-Jitsu. I'm your host, Donnie the Great, a.k.a. Donnie Love at his finest. We want to hear your stories. Not my story, but your story. I want to hear exactly what made you take this road to Jiu-Jitsu. So with that, without any further ado, my first guest, we got to make this official. Officially have to make this the official first podcast. This official first podcast, man.
Official.
Official, man. Official. Podcast. Official. To my right, ladies and gentlemen, I have my little brother, Khalid Johnson, a.k.a. Special K.
Special K in
the and to his right, K, who you got sitting next to you, man?
Sweet thing. Camille Johnson.
Okay. Nice. Mr. and Mrs. Nice.
They call me Slender Man. That's Slender One Man right there. You know?
Oh, man. Okay. So let's just jump right into it. So, like, what do you guys do?
So I work at Knuckle Up.
Okay.
MMA facility. I do mostly member representative stuff and training, and yeah, that's where I'm at with it.
Awesome. Camille, what about you? What exactly do you do? What's going on with you?
I work for the city of College Park.
Okay, 5-0.
Why you gotta do me like that?
Nice.
Fans is in the building.
Fans is in the building. Popo watching, y'all. Popo watching. Nice. How's that coming along?
It's going well.
Yeah?
A lot of work, a lot of people to help, so.
That's awesome. So is it in the academy stages that you're at now?
Yes.
Okay, how's that going for you?
It's a lot of book work.
A lot of law.
I gotta know.
Yeah, so, I bet. So,
very time-consuming.
What made you get into that?
Law enforcement?
Yeah, that line of work.
So, when I was like 7 years old, I got lost at the fair. And I don't think I ever told you this story, babe, but...
Hell no, you ain't telling me this story.
I probably did. You just don't be listening. That's okay, though. I got lost at the fair, and obviously I'm 7 years old. I don't know where my mom is. Freaking out, right?
Okay.
It's like, totally scared. Don't know what the hell is going on. And this officer comes up to me, and he's just like, hey, are you lost? And, like, obviously I can't, like, you know, say anything. I can't find my mom. And then he's like, it's okay. And then he pretty much made me feel safe in such, like, a vulnerable place that I wanted to affect somebody that way. So, nice. Like, no matter what situation they're in, whether it's a good situation or a bad situation,
sure.
I wanted them to know that. I wanted them to feel safe in that time frame, especially like what's going on with like the media and stuff and how cops really have like a bad rap right now. Yeah. I just feel like, my personal opinion, I just want to be that change in the world that I want to see.
That's awesome. That really is. So, Special K.
Tell it to me.
My question for you is, when Camille wanted to go into law enforcement, your initial reaction, how did exactly that conversation go?
So, I'm very supportive.
Word.
And...
Which a king should be.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. You know, and... Of course, the first thing that's going to go through any man's mind is... I don't want my baby to get shot.
Yeah.
You know? But at the same time, I have a lot of strong views when it comes to law enforcement. I have a lot of strong views. When it comes to just the American government and the way everything is ran from your home front to, mm-hmm. you know, higher levels. And I always felt that when it comes to law enforcement, there needed to be more minority police. Mm-hmm. And I'm a firm believer that your police should be the police that live in your backyard. Mm. You know, mm-hmm. There's no reason as to why when you call the police, you know, to your home, you have somebody who's never lived in that environment. Mm-hmm. You know, you have somebody who doesn't know the people. They don't know the community. They don't know how the community runs, you know. And the fact that she's in the force, in the neighborhood, in the community, in the county that we actually live in, mm-hmm. I support that. And she has good judgment, you know, and a good heart. So who else would you want to have your faith in?
I love it.
And we've definitely taken our faith away from law enforcement with everything that's been going on.
Sure.
So essentially, that's something that needs to be restored. And it's important.
Yeah.
It's definitely important. You know, if we govern ourselves and don't have no police, then we all be fucked.
Pretty much. In a nutshell, I cheers to that. Come on over here, sis. Absolutely. I'll cheers to that. Mm-hmm. So, everybody now has an intro of who's here, you know. So, let's just jump right into it. We're here to talk about the road to jiu-jitsu, you know, what makes people decide to get on that road, because at the end of the day, when it comes to jiu-jitsu, and, you know, really just like any martial art, but I can speak for a lot of people, but I also speak for myself. When it comes to jiu-jitsu, I just believe that it not only is community-based, but it's everybody-based. You know, there's a lot of love that goes into it. You know, previously, before we started this whole thing up, all we do is hug, man.
Straight up.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, there's not a lot of room for the beef and the drama, and, you know, I mean, you got somebody's sweat coming all over you, and you're all in their personal space. They're all in your personal space. But, you know, so speak on, Kay, you're like exactly where you're at now. What was like the very first class that you did? You know, what led to it?
First thing I would say when it comes to my initial experience with jiu-jitsu is it's intimate like a motherfucker. It is intimate. And I tell everybody that I talk to who hasn't done it, who's about to do it, that there's going to be a mental barrier that you're going to have to break, because you're not used to being that intimate in training, in a training aspect.
Right.
You know. And a lot of times, that's the very thing that a lot of just people who just start doing it, they get in bad positions because of uncomfortability. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be comfortable with jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you gain. But as far as me just jumping into it, it's something I always admired. I was always a fan of it. Mm-hmm. Especially coming from a striking background, everything always gets to the ground.
Right.
You know, and where I was at previously, before I worked where I'm at, I would always see it, because mm-hmm. I was still in the gym world, and I would always see it, and how beautiful the sport was, and how everybody treated each other, and how you have the biggest of the biggest and the smallest of the smallest coming together and doing one thing and leaving it all on the mat. Hmm. And I just always thought it was beautiful. You know, so when I got the opportunity to start training consistently, it was just like an instant click for me. You know, the first thing I ever learned, my first class, I'll never forget it. And I forget a lot of shit. First thing I ever learned was...
Everybody remembers their first class,
man. Yeah, the arm bar, man, when somebody's in your guard and, you know, putting that foot down, pivoting, getting your angle, and shooting those hips up and getting that arm bar. And I just thought it was fucking magic. I mean, I still think a lot of shit is magic.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was magic. It was so beautiful. And I always say this, when you look at a lot of your striking sports, when you look at your boxing, when you look at your Thai, when you look at your kickboxing, a lot of these sports have a foundation that you learn. And once you get that foundation down, it's about how hard you train to make everything that you learn muscle memory and how to make everything that you learn repetitive and build your instincts, build your reflexes, build your speed, build your strength.
Mm-hmm.
But bigger, faster, stronger isn't the foundation of jiu-jitsu.
Okay.
It starts off with your mentality. It starts off with your mind first.
I like that.
You know, it's playing chess.
Mm-hmm.
And once you know how to move the pieces, then you can build assets on your strength and assets on your athleticism, but technique rules everything.
Mm.
You know, and this is a sport that was started from, you know, someone who was a lot smaller in face and somebody who was a lot bigger. So of course, the foundation of jiu-jitsu itself wasn't even built on strength and bigger and faster and stronger.
Mm-hmm.
It was built on brain power.
So being a whole lot bigger, and a, let's just say that you have this individual that is 275, 6'6", or something like that. They come in first class, thinking they just gonna like smoke everybody.
Fuck out of here. That's what I gotta say about that.
Yeah.
One of the most technical guys who I train with. I'm gonna shout him out, my boy Kennedy.
Okay, shout out to Kennedy.
Purple Belt Kennedy. Kennedy is, what, like 5'7"?
Yeah, on a good day.
On a good day, yeah. Like 135, 140.
With his slippers on.
With his slippers on, you know. And he fucks everybody up.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
It doesn't matter your weight class, but it's because of the fact that he focuses on his technique as aspect of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing to me because I love jiu-jitsu because there's so much knowledge. Mm-hmm. I always say you're gonna die learning when it comes to jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like CJ, okay, he just went to Brazil
right
a month or two ago and was training with some cats out there, and he learned the most simplistic thing from a red belt who's been in the game for years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it blew his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been doing jiu-jitsu for the past 15-20 years, you know, but that just goes to show, like, you're always going to learn something,
right?
And that's the thrill of it. At the same time, that's the humbleness of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you do jiu-jitsu, I told you this yesterday, if you do jiu-jitsu, you have to understand that you have to submit to the fact you're going to always be learning. You're never going to know it all.
That is a fact.
And a lot of people can't handle that. A lot of people can't handle the fact that, damn, I didn't even want to be in school for 12 years, bro. I didn't even want to be in college for over 4 years.
Mm.
You know, I don't see how a lawyer did it. They've been in school for 8 to 10 years. I don't see how these doctors and neurosurgeons did it. They've been in school for 12 years and 14 years. Learning one thing, you're going to be learning shit for the rest of your fucking life.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to jiu-jitsu.
The simplest stuff.
The simplest stuff that will change your game.
Mm-hmm.
The simplest things always change my game. And I'm a fresh cookie.
Right.
You know what it is. But the simplest things always change my game. The complex shit, sometimes I forget it. As soon as I hear it, I'll be like, I don't know what happened. We just going to drill this shit.
Right. Go over there with your training partner and be like, okay, yo, I didn't check that out, man. So, like, you remember what
did you
did?
Hear that? Did you hear what we just did? You put, what? Where am I pushing my hips to? But
only true jiu-jitsu athletes know exactly what we're talking about.
Right. But the small things are what changes my game tremendously.
Right.
You know, and that's what I appreciate about jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. But it's so much knowledge.
So if we stop right there, if we backtrack, and if you could summarize for, let's just say there's a listener right now that's listening to us, and they're thinking, okay, well, what are they talking about? What in the world is jiu-jitsu? If you had that same person come to you like, okay, explain to me what jiu-jitsu is, what would you tell them? What do you tell the world? What is jiu-jitsu?
So
how would you describe it?
Every time I deal with a new member who's coming in, or a guest that comes in who's never heard of jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm.
This is at Knuckle Up Fitness.
Right.
Okay. Which Knuckle Up Fitness are you at now?
Sandy Springs. Sandy Springs. Road,
nice. Know? Okay. So if everybody, anybody that's in the Sandy Springs area, you know exactly
come
where
through,
to go.
Come see K.
Come see Special K. Okay. Go ahead, brother.
So every time somebody's like, oh, I've never heard of jiu-jitsu, I always tell them it's complex wrestling. It's complex grappling. It's not regular grappling. You know, it's way more complex.
Mm-hmm. But so let me stop you right there, okay? Let's go deeper. What is grappling? What if somebody said, okay, well, what? I don't have time to look up Google grappling. So what would that be?
It's demobilizing combat.
Okay, now we're talking.
You know, it's demobilizing combat. It's not a striking combat.
Right.
But it's demobilizing. You know, it's being able to isolate certain parts of the body to defend or offensively taking advantage of your opponent.
So pretty much, if you could, okay, so let me give you a platform and I'm gonna have you flow off of it. If you have an individual that's out there and they know that they're about to get in a fight for whatever reason, and they think in the back of their mind, well, I know there's something out there that's called jiu-jitsu, but everybody knows that all fights start in the stand-up position. So you're standing up, you got your dukes up, and you're about to throw hands, as people say. So describe what would jiu-jitsu be from right there in the stand-up position, because you said it wasn't a stand-up sport.
Right. So essentially, jiu-jitsu in a lot of cases does start standing up, but the first thing that you have to establish is how to get it to the ground. Mm. Like on John Danaher says, the first thing you have to do is take it to the ground.
Take the fight to the ground. Yeah.
When
shout out to John Danaher, absolutely. Right.
When you take somebody down to the ground, that's when jiu-jitsu essentially starts. Mm-hmm. Just like when you had your first competition, when I had my first competition, mm-hmm. and coach was like, "You just need to get to the ground and start doing jiu-jitsu."
Right.
You feel me?
Let's get to the ground. Let's go.
Let's start doing jiu-jitsu because it starts on the ground. You know, my first comp, you know, CJ's like, okay, you got a good guard game. You got this and this and this. But how are you going to get it down to the ground? Because that's essentially the first step. Mm. Okay. So getting it down to the ground, takedowns, mm-hmm. Arm drags, throws, all these things are things that starts jiu-jitsu. Okay, so for the person in that street fight, when somebody goes for the takedown, or you guys might be throwing hands and somebody slips on a fucking banana peel, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. but it's once it gets to the ground, that's when jiu-jitsu essentially starts, and a lot of your fights typically get to the ground. And the majority of people do not know what to do when they get to the ground. They turn into babies. Mm-hmm. You know, they turn into babies. So that's when it starts. But it gives you so much comfortability to know that that's a safe zone. One thing I definitely wanted to say is the fact that it makes you comfortable on your back. Mm-hmm. And I always tell women, if you're a woman listening to this podcast, take jiu-jitsu. It's the best self-defense that you can have because it makes you comfortable being on your back, being on the ground. You know, everybody in society looks at that as a vulnerable position when you're on your back. Everybody in jiu-jitsu looks at that as, bro, you're in my close guard. You're not going nowhere. You know, you're about to get triangle choked. You're about to get your arm broke. You know, I am comfortable. Everything is fine. But I always say it's the best self-defense. You know, so if you're a woman listening to this podcast, find the closest jiu-jitsu gym near you. Hopefully it's Knuckle Up on Roswell Road because that's where we at with it. And come and check jiu-jitsu out. Mm-hmm. Try jiu-jitsu.
Nice. And this is Roswell Road. This is Atlanta.
Right? Atlanta,
Georgia.
Okay. Oh, you already know.
Okay, nice. Good deal.
Where the players play.
So we understand from your point of view what jiu-jitsu is. Now, if I'm going direct to the queen herself, This is coming from somebody that has taken what? How many classes? What'd you say?
I'm taking about 5 classes.
Yeah.
5 or 6.
We'll go there.
Yeah.
Sure.
Nice. Okay, a little 5-finger discount. Nice. Yeah. Not bad, man.
It's not a deal for Mora.
Not bad. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Americana.
Nice. Okay, we'll take it. Okay. So, Camille, from your point of view, like, as far as, what, like, your initial reaction from doing your first class as a female, mm-hmm. you know, since, you know, your husband over here spoke on, he believes that females should really find a jiu-jitsu gym because it could really be beneficial mm-hmm. for them, you know, for many different, you know, aspects on that I'm sure we'll touch on. But from your point of view, as a female in your first class, what would you say about it? How did you feel?
For me, it was an awesome experience just because...
Let me stop you right there. What led you to... Why did you want to do it?
I was forced. I was forced.
Now we're talking.
I forced everyone
to do it. I was forced. And it started with my husband.
Okay.
And he's just like, you need to take jiu-jitsu. And this is even before like we even had the talk about me going into law enforcement.
Right. Okay.
He's just like, I'm doing it. You should do it. It's really great. You come up with all these stories. And like, so the only thing I saw was like, don't touch my ribs. Oh my gosh, my arm hurts. Like I saw like the aftermath, you know?
Right,
so I'm like,
right.
I don't want to do that. I'm not trying to be, you know, sore. Because like, I played every sport possible. Volleyball, basketball, softball, track, all of it. Right,
right? Okay.
I know what it feels like to be sore.
Well, all American like over here, man.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't like to be sore unless, like, I'm training for something.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
So, you know, I had my heyday. I understand. I let it go. I'm a husband now.
Right.
I get it.
An alumni.
You know? Like, I know where I'm at in the, you know, the structure of athleticism or whatever. So, he got into jiu-jitsu, and he was just, you know, all in from the jump. Like, he didn't get his toes wet. He was just, like, head first, diving in, swimming,
First day, deep in.
And so, like, he would tell me about, like, his, like, training and how he would roll and things like that, like, teaching me. And I'm like, all right, cool, it sounds great. You know, I'll try it. I was like, I'm not going to knock it till I try it.
Right.
But then I'd always push it off. So then before I got into law enforcement, I was working at AT&T, which is literally, like, a minute distance from the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a great idea, like, oh, let's carpool instead of taking 2 cars because we're going to the exact same place.
Right.
Instead, you know?
Smart.
And so I would have to wait for him, and so I just started doing kickboxing, right? And then he got his coworkers involved. He's like, hey, when you take jiu-jitsu? And I was just like, oh, you know, I'll take it on my day off. Never went. Complete bullshit. I was trying to, like, not do it. And so finally, I don't know what happened. I think I went with you like on a Saturday maybe.
It was open mat.
It wasn't open mat. I didn't go to open mat.
I thought it was open mat. When you came to work that when I was training?
No, I didn't roll with you guys. I'm talking about my...
Oh, when you had actually like...
Right.
Oh yeah, that was a Saturday.
It was like a Saturday or
you
something.
Yeah, that was a Saturday.
And then I was like, alright, fuck it, bro. Like, I'm just gonna like do this shit so like get off my fucking back, bro. I've been making too many promises, you know, and I'm all about my word. So I was like, alright, I'm gonna do it right now. So then I did it, and so, like, my first, like, when I was going through it, yes, it was kind of a struggle for me because I didn't know what shrimps were. I didn't know what I forgot what it's called, but it's, like, the hand movement, the hand placement and stuff like that. So they're teaching me, like, all the fundamentals.
Sit-ups. Right.
And I was like, okay, this is great that they teach you the fundamentals instead of just throw you in there, you know?
Right.
And so when we finally got to the rolling part, we were practicing the Kimura. And I was like, all right, so for me, I'm a very, like, visual learner.
Sure.
And so when he was teaching me, I was like, okay, so I got to do this, this, and this, and pull, you know?
Right.
And so when I was able to get it down, I was like, okay. So everything started to make sense off of what my husband was telling me about his experience.
Okay.
And so I was like, dang, he was right. I was like, dang. And so I enjoyed myself because it taught me in that short amount of time, how to defend myself if I were ever to, you know, be on the ground and I'd have to, like, switch over, get inside control. I think it's called side control. And then fuck somebody's arm up.
Okay.
Okay. And I was okay with that. Right. So I was just like, shoot, if I learn to kick somebody's ass, say less.
Nice.
But I know I had a really good teacher. Well, the instructor, as well as the teammates that I kind of got in when mm-hmm. I joined. They were very helpful. Nobody ever made you feel like you're stupid. Like, get your shit together, you know? Like, we're rolling, just fucking roll.
Nice.
So, for me, especially, like, they've been doing it so much mm-hmm. that I felt like, fuck, they're probably going to blow all this newbie. Like, get the fuck out of here. I'm just trying to roll, you know?
Right.
They never once made me feel like I was a, I don't know what I'm trying to say, annoyance mm-hmm. to them. It was more like a teaching moment. They were willing to teach. If mm-hmm. I had a question, they would stop the roll, help me figure out what the hell I was doing wrong if I wasn't getting it, and right. then get back into the role.
Nice.
So, it was very informative.
So, you would definitely, to any female listeners out there that's either just want to get into something.
Yes. I highly recommend females to get into jiu-jitsu just because you never know. You never know. And if you can put one thing under your belt where you can defend yourself, mm-hmm. why not? I mean, you could walk around here oblivious thinking nobody's going to touch you,
right.
be caught off guard. But, I mean, we have a saying, well, a couple of my coworkers have a saying, if you stay ready, you're never going to get ready.
Get ready. That's right. That's right.
Especially as a female.
I like that. And just like you said, especially as a female. That's all right. That's all right. So, since we're on the heavy subject of jiu-jitsu here, and you had spoke about how Cade, his just first time he ever did class, he was just like completely all in.
Completely all in.
So, what was your, when he came back, well, first of all, how did the talk go when he first, like his very first class? Mm-hmm. Did you know that he was going to try it out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how exactly did that conversation happen?
He said that, I think I'm going to try jiu-jitsu. And I was just like, okay, go for it. Okay. Let me know how it goes. And for me, I was like, if he tries, you know, he'll let me know. If not, cool, whatever. I'll figure out what he did later. But he didn't even like, I forgot what I was doing, but he instantly called. I think it was off that day. He comes to me, baby, this is jiu-jitsu. And I was like, oh, how was it? He was like, it was fucking awesome. And I was just like, okay, dude, what happened? He's like, I got my ass kicked. But it's a constant learning.
Mm-hmm.
And from his first class, he's like, he learned so much. But I remember that he specifically said, I gotta keep going because there's too much to that I'm missing out on. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I gotta keep going. I'm just like, all right, bro, like, go ahead. And then after that first day, second day, third day, fourth day, like he went like the whole week. And then the following week or something, like, I want to say the following week, that's when, you know, the jiu-jitsu side effects were coming in. And I would be, like, playing with him because I'm very hands-on, you know, like, when I'm like, hey, babe, like, how was your day? And I'm, like, touching him. He's like, don't touch my ribs! And he'd, like, jump all over the place. And then he'd say I was abusing him. And I'm just like, bro, I can't help you. And so I was telling him, I was like, you need to rest, babe. Like, rest your ribs, you know, rest.
Right.
Rest.
Right.
He's like, no, I'm going to miss out on something. I can't. And I'm just like, bro, what? I was like, all right, whatever. And so then he just kept having his jiu-jitsu side effects. And I was just like, it got to the point where I was like, babe, suck that shit up, bro. Like, you keep complaining about just suck that shit up. Like, stop telling me stuff. Because all I kept hearing was
hard-ass like, wife over here, man.
Ass, bro. No, listen. I was supportive. I was just like, in the beginning, I was like, babe, are you okay? You need me to get anything? But after all, I was like, bro, suck that shit up. That's been going on for like 2 months. Like,
2 months and he's still crying.
Right. I was like, you should be used to the pain by now. Like,
right. That's all right, man. Wow. Okay. So. All right, bro. Well, back on you, man. So recently, I want to say like a couple months ago, man, we just got a stripe on the belt, man. So how was, well, congratulations on that, you know, first and foremost, you know, but how did that feel in receiving that stripe? Which I think, honestly, it's an accomplishment, but I don't think it becomes glorified until you actually receive a belt promotion.
Straight up.
You know what I'm saying?
When I got that stripe, when I got my first stripe, it was like, okay, it's being recognized that hard work is paying off. Because from when I started doing jiu-jitsu to now, I always train hard. Mm-hmm. You know, I always train hard every day. And I train with some really good guys, man. Some technical guys, some strong guys, some competitive guys. You know, shout out to Quentin. Mm-hmm. You know, Quentin
the Hitman.
Hitman, my boy Quentin. That's my coach. That's one of my coaches. That's my coach there.
Master Q right there, man.
That's my boy. But I felt like it was just a stamp on my progression. Mm-hmm. At the same time, now since I've done my first comp and I have done some really, really great things when it comes to the sport, I feel like I can't even focus on promotions. I can't even think about it because it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter to me. It only matters to the people outside of me. It only matters to the people who's viewing it. Because when I do get my blue belt, I know that I have put in so much work and so much time and so much effort and so much perseverance in the sport that there's no surprise.
Mm.
You know, because if I'm comfortable rolling with purple and brown and black belts now, no matter what the outcome is, no matter if I get my taps or they get their taps, I'm still learning, you know. And it's still a road that I have to go on for, in my mind, eternity.
Mm.
You know, so getting a belt is just what comes with it.
Just a stamp.
It's just a stamp, you know. But it's not about that. I'm not gonna belt chase.
Right.
You know, I'm just focused on building my knowledge and getting better.
Do you believe that a lot of people think that? Do you think that a lot of people belt chase? Let's say that.
I definitely feel like a lot of people belt chase because it's an ego boost essentially. Mm. You know, it's an ego boost essentially. People feel like, oh, you know, I do this, I should be this belt. You know. If I went on that mentality, then I definitely wouldn't feel like, I feel like I should have more.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, since that's not where my head is at, I don't focus on it, you know. But I've definitely come into contact with people who feel like they have, since they tapped a certain amount of bells that's higher than them, that they should be on a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you got people who do jiu-jitsu, and you got people who compete.
Mm.
And
now you about to open up the can right there.
The people who compete have a different mentality.
Mm. Mm. So since we about to drive down there, because we already in the car.
Yeah.
Because we on the road right now to jiu-jitsu. So if we aren't in the car, let's speed up and let's stop at the gas station right quick. Okay. So speaking of competition, so recently you did your first competition. That was the New Breed
mm-hmm.
competition, which you got the silver medal in. You know, in a nice division, I may say, it was a cruiserweight, mm-hmm. right? So nice, solid, very solid. So speaking of your first competition, how would you rate it? You know, how was the overall experience? You know, nervous, scared, you know, what was it?
It was cool. You know, I was, the majority of the time before the competition, I was pretty relaxed because I felt like it was just a part of it, man. Like, I know what I'm in it for.
Mm.
You know, I know what I'm in it for. I want to be a world champion.
Mm.
I'm going to be a world champion. You know, so competing is what you have to do. It's something that you have to get comfortable with. It's something that you have to come at peace with, you know. And a lot of people you see who still haven't come to peace with and they're competing are the ones that make the nervous mistakes. And I'd rather make mistakes just because I didn't know,
mm-hmm.
opposed to making a mistake because I'm doing bad jujitsu.
Mm.
You know, CJ always tell me, like, just go out there and do good jujitsu. Just do good jujitsu. Mm. You know, and that was my focus. So when I competed, like, the only time it was a spike in intensity was when I slapped hands.
Mm.
You know, when...
This is initially before the match actually starts.
Yeah.
Okay. The slap bomb.
When we was in the bullpen and you was up there and Steve came up and he was like, "You nervous?" And I was like, "Nah." He was like, "You can play that poker face, you know." And I'm just like, I'm just really not nervous. Like, I'm not tripping.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know this is what I gotta do. Like, I'm gonna keep on competing. You know I'm gonna compete a shit ton. So it's my first one. Like, I just gotta get my first one out of the way. But what it showed me was the intensity that I need to bring every single day in mm-hmm. training. You know, we recently had a seminar with Jason Kuhn.
Nice.
Jason Kuhn is one of the best marksmen in the world. And the things that he was saying really just re-solidified everything that I thought after my first comp, as far as mental fortitude and the way you need to come hard every single day in training. Because in competition, in practice, in your matches, all that is literally the sum of all your training.
Mm.
And the sum of all your training should essentially just be muscle memory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's it. But every day when you train, it's about having a goal, it's about having an objective, and hitting that objective every day that you train so that it is second nature when you actually compete.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what I had got from my first comp. And, I mean, it was cool.
Nice. Solid stuff, man. So, Camille, what... Clearly, we were all there
mm-hmm.
on Special K's first competition. So, as his wife, and not necessarily seeing him compete in the jiu-jitsu world, how did you feel from your perspective, him actually competing against somebody? Because, of course, you know, there's always the scare of the injury, et cetera, mm-hmm. like that. So, like, as his wife, how did you feel?
Well, I wasn't scared for him. I knew he was going to do well
mm-hmm.
just because the man he is, he doesn't ever half-ass anything.
Mm.
So when even like something that's like, if you want to just take it out of jiu-jitsu, say I ask him, "Hey babe, I need you to do X, Y, and Z."
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever have to look back and think he didn't do X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
So when he went into it, it was like the only way that he wouldn't have succeeded is if he doubted himself, which he doesn't. So I knew he was going to have fun. I knew mm-hmm. he was going to do well. I knew he was going to place. I just didn't know which... how he was going to place, but I wasn't scared. I was more so happy for him that he finally did his first competition.
Sure.
I was like, it's about time. You know, you've been hearing all about this, you know. I already did jiu-jitsu. Like, when are we going to do this? But I was more so proud. And I was just like, look at my baby. Go ahead. Fuck him up.
Okay.
What's it called? Full mouth. Full mouth.
So good when I got that full mouth.
Yeah, I know it was, man. I know it was. So speaking of like competition, of course you know I believe the IBJJF is coming up. Are you going to be doing that, or like what's on the radar for the next comp?
So I wanted to do IBJJF, but okay. before New Breed, I had broke my toe,
right.
And it's still broke because I still haven't stopped training.
Look at that face.
I'm not gonna do this IBJJF. Mm-hmm. But after this, I'm planning on competing in June and July and just competing after that. Like after that, I should be good. My touch should be good. But I don't wanna compete not at 100%, especially mm-hmm. on that platform. Mm-hmm. You know, and I study the all the levels from white belt, blue belt, purple belt when it comes to high competition. So I know how hard I need to train, and I'm not worried about it. You know, I seen a 60 plus old man compete at IBJJF when we went. Mm-hmm. So shit, it's always gonna be a competition. It's always gonna be a fight. Mm-hmm.
So I ain't tripping. So speaking of what you said about the 60-year-old man, I can't remember what belt he was. And low key, not that it should even matter, but let's just say we have a listener out there that is, you know, 50, 60, you know, possibly 70, because you never know who we have listening on this podcast here. So with that being said, is there a age requirement? If somebody says it's like, okay, well, I want to do it, but I think I'm too old, you know, or...
Man, you're never too old to fuck somebody up. Straight out. You never too old to fuck somebody up.
Somebody put that on the t-shirt.
You are never too old to fuck somebody up. Never too old to fuck somebody out. It's no age, man. That's why I love jujitsu.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. if you look at your football players, once they hit what, 38?
Mm.
39, 40,
life
like
span is super short.
Shoot, when you look at all these other sports, once you hit a certain age limit, it's just like, man, you know, you can't train as hard. Your body isn't going to react the same. But when you look at jiu-jitsu, it's like you can still do all of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what age you are, you know, which is the beauty about it, because it still drives that competitiveness. Mm-hmm. A lot of people get to a certain age and they've been competing all of their life, but once they get to a certain age, they let their age dictate their competitiveness, and they plummet and think that that's how life is supposed to be. But you can die an old-ass man and still have the mindset that you had when you were 20 years old competing against everybody else.
Mm.
And that's what jiu-jitsu shows you firsthand.
Mm. So, again, there's no age requirement, there's no age limit.
To fuck somebody up.
I like that. Seriously, somebody put that on the shirt for real.
Copyright that shit.
That's it. There you go. Copyright it. That's good stuff. So, okay. I think that covers it, man. I think that covers it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, let's. Okay. So now we're about to have a little bit of fun.
Yeah, let's have
so now we didn't talk the jiu-jitsu talk, so now let's give the listeners something to laugh about. Okay, so speaking of ribs. Okay. So what I want to know. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, okay, boys and girls, this story that you're about to hear, we were at the Knuckle Up Fitness in Sandy Springs, Georgia, and I was sitting up there at the front, and Special K walks in, and I had asked him, which I usually do, so, yo, bro, you doing jiu-jitsu today, et cetera, et cetera, and, you know, he sat down, try to get this visual, he sits down on the chair, and throws his head back, and he's grabbing the side of his ribs, and he's just like, Don, I can't even do it today, Donnie, can't do it today, man. I said, K, what's going on, man? What happened? He said, man, wife fucked me up last night. I said, what? She did
time
what?
Time out. Before you even start taking sides, because I already see where the narrative already going. Listen, people.
She can't even say
I'm laying the foundation.
Let me go ahead and put this out there, okay? There are three sides to a story. There is is his side.
Go ahead, sis.
There is my side, and then there's the truth. Okay,
now and the truth is, you are a homeless.
So, and the truth is, you're gonna have to combine his side of the story and my side of the story and make your own assumption. Okay, because on this part, you are allowed to assume.
Okay, so we got that. We got that disclaimer there. So coming from my side, this is what I heard. All right. So like I say, he comes in, sits down in the chair, grabbing the side of his ribs, like, Don, I'm not gonna be able to train today. You know, wifey beat me up last night, man.
I said,
what you mean she beat you up last night? He said, man, let me tell you, man. Took this big old long sigh. I said, oh man, this is serious. He said, man, you have no idea. So he started rubbing the side of his ribs, and he was like, man, I was asleep. I'm done. Listen, I was in a good sleep. I said, Kay, you was in a deep sleep, man? He said, yo, I was in a deep sleep.
Deep sleep.
I said, deep blue okay, sleep. I said, Kay, what happened, man? What happened? What'd she do? Man, I don't know what it was, but I was in a deep sleep, stretched out. Deep sleep, Don, deep sleep. Now, all of a sudden, I feel this sharp elbow just bang me in my ribs, and it completely wakes me up out of my sleep. I said, Kay, you mean to tell me that she bowed you in the ribs, man? She gave you a Jose Aldo elbow. That's what she did. He said, man, more like John Jones. I said, stop it.
Stop it, sir.
Stop it right now. He said, man, he got so serious. He said, Don, I would show you, man, but it hurts to even lift up my shirt. I said, man, I'm going to talk to sis when I see you. I said, hey, don't even worry about it. I got you.
Look, okay. Man, if you don't know, rib injuries are very common in jiu-jitsu. So probably about my first month or two, I had shredded my ribs.
I know.
I shredded my ribs, okay? And I ain't going to lie, I ain't give them a chance to heal because I stopped doing jiu-jitsu for like, what, a week, 2 weeks?
2 days. Literally 2 days and said they were healed.
And I had
he was healed, right?
He was healed.
I had mat withdrawals.
He gave it no time, and he's like, 2 days, we're good. Came back in.
What are you doing, good crew?
All right, we're good.
Man, this mofo.
He don't know.
First off, clearly she don't know. She sleep wide in her sleep. She sleep like a 5-year-old. Five-year-olds don't know what.
So she just be all over the place.
All over the place.
I'd be all over the place.
All over the place.
You know what?
Okay?
I'll let you tell your side.
Because I've taken many other strikes. Okay.
Right.
I'm like, damn. Did I have my guard up? Like, did I Philly Sham? What am I doing?
Like you describing my fiance. Shout out to Essie, man, right quick.
Right.
I'll be taking all kinds of bows, man, in my face, man.
Look, I need to sleep in the Philly Sham. Right. So.
I'm Floyd Mayweather.
Right. You feel me? Hey, man, she wake me up out of it. She hit me directly in my messed up rib. Directly in that thing.
The one that was messed up.
Right.
Not the other side.
Not the other side. The other side kind of messed up, too, but it was real bad.
But but that side was real bad.
Yeah, and
that
was real bad.
That was the elbow that she caught you with.
Oh, what?
And it wasn't like a little soft tap. It was
a soft tap? I was dreaming that, I don't even know, I was riding a unicorn or something, and... You know, I was in this beautiful plane. You know, it was just oceans and meadows and brooks and dandelions and shit. Next thing you know,
that sounds like some good sleep, bro.
Right. Yeah. Next thing you know, Satan walked in that motherfucker. You know, boom! God damn! The fuck was that?
You done?
I wake up in pain. I can't even breathe. I can't even breathe.
Tell me, what'd you tell me? Remember what you said?
Said he couldn't even go back to sleep.
No, remember what you told me after that supposed incident happened?
What I said, I can't remember because I was in so much pain. You know, my mind wasn't working right.
Did you wake up and say, oh, babe, did you just hit me?
Yeah, did you just hit me?
Did you just hit me?
Because I had to make sure that it wasn't no poltergeist or some shit up in this motherfucker.
Right.
You know, the Conjuring or some shit. Was it you? Cause that was hard, you know. I didn't know you had that much power. First off,
don't let the size fool you now. Don't look like much, but.
And that was just power. Nothing but elbows.
And she was asleep.
Right.
How you do that at your sleep?
Right.
Unless you did it intentionally.
When I woke up, I did.
What? See?
Hold on, time out. Finish up this story. There we go. I never said I didn't do it. When you asked me what I... Yeah, I did it, but I was justified because...
Okay, so for the listeners out there, so from your point of view, what happened?
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Picture this. Tell y'all a little story.
She don't even remember.
Yes, I do. Trust me. So his little rib injury was going on like 3 months
ago. She actually got to downplay the injury by saying little rib injury.
Because if you would have listened to me and let it heal, what would have happened? It would have healed.
But then I would have missed days of jujitsu and people would have been ahead of me and I wouldn't be able to travel their ass right now.
That's just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. But anyways, so we're going on like 3 months of the rib injury. And at this point in time, we had a queen size bed, okay?
Okay.
I am only 5'6" and a half. My husband is 6'3" okay. and some maybe change inches, whatever.
Yeah, don't stay.
So if you think about, and I weigh like 160 pounds, you weigh like what, 190-ish?
I'm 200 right now.
Okay, 200. That ain't a lot of room in a queen size bed.
At that time, I was about 210.
Okay, so we just added more weight, 210. That's not a lot of room in that side, that like size in the bed. And so for a whole like month, maybe like a month and a half, he would always sleep in the middle of the bed.
I'll fall off if I sleep on my side.
Okay, got it.
And she can push you
off. She pushed me off.
Okay.
Like it's 300.
No, this is how it goes, okay?
This is Spartan. This is Spartan.
Goes.
God
damn.
So
I'm just the messenger.
I'm on the left side of the bed.
Right.
Kalika start off on the right side of the bed.
Okay.
Titan will be somewhere at our feet. Titan's
right.
our dog.
Right.
Somehow, I wake up in the middle of the night because I want to turn over. Every time I turn over, Khalid is pressed up on me on my left side of the bed. Titan got all this space on the right side. And Titan's a half knees. He only take about like 2 feet.
Right. Okay. Okay.
So I'm over here just like waking up out of my sleep. Can't even turn my pillow over or go to the cool side of the bed because there's nowhere to go.
That's why she wake up angry.
There's nowhere to go.
Makes so much sense
and
now.
So,
that makes sense.
For that month and a half, I was like, babe, can you scoot over? Babe, scoot over. It happened constantly. Back, like, constantly. Monday, babe, can you scoot over? Tuesday, babe, can you scoot over? Wednesday, babe, can you scoot over? So after a month and a half, I was like, this nigga gonna get it. Today is the damn day, bro. And so I woke up out of my sleep and all I wanted to do, okay? And then before, I think like 2 days before I actually initially did what I did, I was like, hey, babe, it really makes me upset that when I wake up to turn over, you are in the middle. And so
that was
like,
that was a warning call right there. That's what that was.
That was
a prerequisite.
Fuck that warning call.
So we have talked and he's like, all right, babe, I'm gonna do my best not to do it. So I'll give him that. 2 days, he fixed it. But by that time he did it again, I was fed the fuck up. Fed up. So I woke up trying to turn over, can't go anywhere, I didn't have no fucking space. So I'm over here like curled up in a little ball, like I have like the pillow between my legs, pillow on my head, I'm just there. I tried to like spread out, couldn't go anywhere. His leg, like he was literally like this. That's like he was like a cross. And then when I mean like a cross, like he was more so on the left side of the bed, which I was.
Right.
So literally, the only where I had to go was the floor. That's all I had to go. So I looked, and then ribs were right the fuck open. So I was like, well, shit. He gonna learn today.
So the moral of the story.
No, I'm not done. So, I went from like right here to like on my like hands and knees. I grabbed my left hand, put it on my right hand. And done it again, bitch. I was like, nigga, you gonna move. And he woke up.
Look at the clench of the fist, dog.
And he woke up and said, oh, babe, did you hit me? And I was like, nigga, I told you to stop taking up all the fucking room in the bed. Laid my happy ass back down and went to sleep.
I didn't know it was that intense. Oh, my God.
And then he was over here like, I just went to sleep. I was like, I had to tell your ass.
My boy came in there hurting the following day,
that's
man.
That's why I put frog blood in your spaghetti.
You don't cook.
Oh, what you mean? The moral of the story, first off, I'm a great ass cook.
So, the moral of the story is, fellas, guys,
if you over 6'1", get a California King, because we got a California King.
No, the moral of the, yeah, and then we had to get a California King, and we got all space somewhere. We ain't got, no, actually, we do still have that problem, because he don't know how to stay on his side of the bed.
Because I'll be trying to cut him off.
But it's okay, because at least I got room, like, on the edge. If he ever do that, I can move my little happy ass towards the feet area.
Fellas, get a California King if you want to make it.
But no, the moral of the story is just respect space, bro. I'm trying to sleep.
I'm 6'3".
That don't mean this. I'm making excuses.
I got these long legs. That's why they call me Slender Man. That's why I got Slender Man on my gi.
No, you got Slender Man because you like the movie.
No, I got Slender Man because I'm super long and I be on motherfuckers. Once you see
just
me, you
like
can't
the movie.
Me. Once you see me, you can't unsee
just
me.
Like the movie.
That's why they call me Slender Man.
Anyways.
The streets not.
Listen, just don't try my gangsta. Listen, fellas, if you're in a relationship, don't try your lady's gangsta. Because when they show you who they are, you're going to be mad.
That's right.
They just put frog blood.
You just want, you know, keep the cuddly version of her. Don't let her go gangsta on you because you're like, oh my God, my girl's crazy.
I
know, no.
Put some Haitian voodoo.
Think
on
about
her.
What you did to her to make her react. Like, really think about it. Because what did you do to me for the past month and a half? You was provoking. Pardon me.
Not
and I was letting it slide. I was like, he hurt, don't worry, let it slide. Ass, but when you let niggas start sliding, what do? Figure skate.
That's what I gotta say.
All up and through that bitch. All up and through it.
Oh.
And I was fell. I was like, this is going down today.
That's why I gotta sage the house every Sunday.
Oh man.
Oh no, man.
Let him slide. Figure skate. Okay, man. Shout out to these shirts, man. Good grief. I love it. Oh man, I think that pretty much wraps it up, ladies and gentlemen. Khalik, the Johnsons. Here we go.
Sure.
Nice. That's excellent. So show social medias, man. Where can people find you? Where can they contact you at?
Twitter.
Okay.
Instagram, Apple Music, Google, Spotify, Tidal. I'm a musician, so you know all my shit's on there.
Okay.
You know, just Google me, Dylan Gray.
Right. Any underscores or special letters with that, or just like, you know?
It's Dylan Gray _ on Instagram, I think.
But it's your Google, Instagram, bro.
If you Google Dylan Gray, all my stuff pulls up.
Okay.
Okay, famous?
Yeah.
Shit.
You know?
I get like you.
Download my shit. I'm gonna drop a country song because Camille said I can't make no country music.
He can't. This man listened to a country for a month talking about he know what to do.
All she do,
damn,
she listen to good. Look,
no, listen, time out, and no disrespect. Actually,
no, don't say, don't say what you about to say.
No,
I know
I'm
you.
Say.
Don't say it.
I'm gonna say it.
Don't say that
I'm
shit.
Say
don't
it.
Say that shit.
Get
say
into
what?
It. Camille.
Don't say that shit.
Say what?
You about to say that song? Get no country song.
It's not no fucking country
don't,
song.
Shut
but
up.
I about to say.
Look,
that nigga was garbage for making that song. But anyway, we're not gonna talk about that. That's like saying, okay, what you saying right here, and I mean all the disrespect towards you, baby. We gonna get
what?
Over it.
Okay.
That's like saying white people cook chicken better than black people.
It's,
I mean, they don't.
She's got it. Well, yeah, okay, yeah, she's got a point, kind
of,
sort
of. I mean, but it's because of the fact, I ain't even gonna get into that. Look, all I'm saying is, I do this music shit.
Right.
I can make anything.
Right.
And I've made everything except country music.
Right.
And she think I can't make country music because all she do is listen to country music.
Right.
So I'm about to make the hardest country song of 2019.
That's your problem. Country music ain't hard, bro.
Jason Aldean is hard, bro.
No,
he is hard, bro. He is fired. That's
see,
all.
This is the problem that we have.
It ain't nothing but
this
a
is
real
problem
new time.
Have.
What you mean?
Country music made me fire. I might like this song, but it don't ever provoke folk. It don't ever downgrade women.
Okay.
Do you ever hear
okay.
Some people talking about, oh, this bitch, this hoe, in their songs? I don't know if they do it outside, you know, in their private lives or whatever, but in their songs, have you ever heard a country
I can give you a couple.
Hoe or bitch.
I'll send you a couple in the morning.
You can't.
I will.
Because you made it? Because that's the type of shit you going to bring to country?
Ooh.
She said I can't bring the straight fundamentals of country music.
What?
I'm
gonna shut this
thing up. That's I'm gonna shut this thing up.
I'm gonna shut this thing up. Look, this is what's gonna happen. Let me tell you what's gonna happen. First, okay, I'm gonna just do a cover of a country song just so people could be like, oh, he can actually sing a country song.
Right. Okay, Jacquees.
All right. Then.
Because on his Insta stories, he has been like, you know, showing.